CQ, 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 calling all radio amateurs and shortwave listeners. This is GB2RS News, the news broadcasting service of the Radio Society of Great Britain. It comes to you from G4NJH in Nottingham. You can find the text on the RSGB Zone website. Good morning, it's Sunday the 3rd of August 2014. This is GB2RS News. Here are the main news headlines. New chairman for Spectrum Forum. European Youth Event on the 20th and 21st of September. Amateur balloon flies around the world. The RSGB's Board of Directors has appointed Murray Nimmon, G6JYB, to the position of chairman of its Spectrum Forum. The Spectrum Forum brings together the RSGB with special interest groups within the UK amateur community that share an interest in spectrum management. Murray is no stranger to spectrum manager matters, having held the post of RSGB microwave manager since January 2007. He succeeds the former chairman John Gould, G3WKL, who was recently elected as RSGB president. The European Radio Amateurs Association organisation is holding a youth event on the 20th and 21st of September that's encouraging other countries to join in. Called Give Youth a Chance, the aim is to promote amateur radio amongst young people, enabling them to have fun and meet other amateurs all over the world. Where regulations permit, licensed radio amateurs are encouraged to invite and supervise young future operators to have their first experience with real radio. Full details and suggestions on how to run your own event can be found at www.eurao.org. The 434 MHz solar-powered party balloon B64, launched by LEO M0XER, is passing the UK at the end of a record-breaking journey around the world. LEO launched his balloon from Silverstone on the 12th of July. It travelled east across Asia, the Pacific and the Americas, and completed the final transatlantic crossing, arriving over Cornwall on the 31st of July. You may still be able to receive B64's Contestia 64-1000 signal on 434.500 MHz USB with the usual pips. When it's over the UK, it would alternate the Contestia transmission with APRS, also on 434.500 MHz, running 10 milliwatts output. It is now a tradition both UK and USA exams will be available at the RSGB convention in October. The UK exams will be hosted by the RSGB Training and Education Committee, and Paul Steed, G0VEP, will be hosting the USA exam. UK Foundation Intermediate will be held on Saturday the 11th of October and the Advanced on Sunday the 12th of October. Candidates intending to sit the Foundation and or Intermediate exams must have completed the relevant practical assessments before the exam. If you need help arranging practical assessments, please contact Steve Hartley at G0FUW via tech.chair@rsgb.org.uk. Anyone wishing to book their place for the UK exam should contact Carol Meredith at the RSGB HQ exam department by the 19th of September via exams@rsgb.org.uk. Anyone wishing to sit the US exam should contact Paul via paul.steed@ntlworld.com. The BBC will mark the centenary of World War I with events running from 2014 to 2018. This summer, as part of the season, BBC Learning will create 8 large-scale inspirational Great War events, which will take place throughout the UK, reflecting the dramatic impact the war had on local families and communities. The next World War I at Home Live event will be on the 8th to the 10th of October, at the Bristol International Balloon Fiesta. Sad news now from the USA. ARRL DXCC and Awards Manager Bill Moore, NC1L, was seriously injured in an accident. Moore suffered a broken neck and other injuries and is paralysed from the chest down. He is stable and recuperating at Mount Sinai Rehab Hospital in Hartford. There's no timetable for his return to work at ARRL headquarters. DXCC and awards questions should be sent to one of the email addresses listed on the DXCC Contacts webpage. Many amateurs know Bill through the DXCC programme, and cards and get well wishes are appreciated. Send to Bill Moore, NC1L, 92 Reservoir Road, Newington, Connecticut, CTO 6111 USA, our best wishes to Bill for a speedy recovery. Last weekend saw the AMSAT UK colloquium take place. Jim G3WGM and Kieran M0XTD gave a presentation on the FunCube 1 mission. The presentation included the announcement of the new version of the FunCube 1 dashboard. This has greatly improved decoding performance for weak signals, especially for FunCube dongle users. Additionally, the dashboard can now activate the BIOS T preamp power from the dongle. The new version can now be downloaded and the guidance notes have been updated to provide full information. Details and downloads http://funcube.org.uk. Now for details of rallies and events for the coming week. Today, the 3rd of August, the 25th King's Lynn ARC Rally takes place at Gaywood Community Centre, P34DZ, where there's talking on S22 and free car parking. Opening time is 10 a.m, admission £2. There are trade stands, a car boot sale and catering. Camping is available by prior arrangement. Details from Ted G40ZG 01553 768 701. Also today, the 3rd of August, is the LOM Radio Rally at Crianlarich Village Hall. Opening time 10:30, admission £2, bring and buy, RSGB bookstall and free tables for traders. Contact Stuart, MM1AVR 07708 016522. On Friday the 8th, Kirkenzie and Port Seton ARC is holding its 21st mini rally at the Community Centre, Main Hall, Port Seton. Bring along your own junk and sell it. Tables are free on a first-come, first-served basis. Doors open 6 p.m, admission £2. Next Sunday the 10th, the Flight Refueling ARS Ham Fest will take place at Cobham Courton Social Club Ground, Merley, near Wimborne in Dorset, BH21 3DA. Gates open at 10 a.m. and talking will be S22. There will be trade stands, a car boot and area and refreshments. Details from Tony, G3PFM 07731573356 after 6 p.m. If you have any rally or event information you'd like to appear in future editions of GB2RS, Radcom, or to be put on the RSGB website, please email details to radcom@rsgb.org.uk. Now for news of special events. Today, the 3rd of August, sees the start of a very unusual special event call sign, GB1418 War, commemorating the 1914-1918 First World War. Activity will top band to 28 MHz, mainly SSB but some CW, QSL, M0, OXO. Next weekend, the 8th and 9th of August, a demonstration station will be at the Mull of Galloway Festival Weekend special event at the Mull of Galloway Lighthouse, Drummore, Stranra, DG99HP. As well as the demonstration station, they will also show Ian MM5WIG's video of GM100 RSGB at the Mull of Galloway. Barrack Point House Lighthouse on Shirkin Island in County Cork will be on the air during the Amateur Radio Lighthouse Society contest on the 3rd of August, US National Lighthouse Day on the 7th of August, and the International Lighthouse and Lightship Weekend on the 16th and 17th of August. Barrack Point Lighthouse has been designated IE0014 by ILLW. A QSL card will be sent to all stations worked. SXCW Club will put GB2VJ on the air from the 8th of August to the 4th of September, marking events on the 14th of August 1945, when it was announced that Japan had surrendered to the Allies, effectively ending World War II. The declaration of the First World War was made from Whitehall at 11 p.m. on the 4th of August 1914. By midnight, the high-powered spark generator at Poldhu in Cornwall broadcast the news to all British merchant ships using the call sign ZZ. To mark the centenary, the Radio Officers Association have organised an event in collaboration with the Poldhu Amateur Radio Club. The call sign GB100ZZ will operate from the 4th of August from the original site where the message was sent. The special event is to honour the sacrifice made by all wireless operators during the Great War, irrespective of side. See the website at www.500kcs.org for full information. Burton-upon-Trent AC was holding a special event at the National Brewery Museum on the 3rd of August with the call sign GB2ALE. The event is timed to coincide with the 100th anniversary of one of the club's founders, Mr. F.V.A. Smith, XSR, receiving a message from the Marconi spark transmitter at Poldhu on the eve of World War I, announcing the mobilisation of French and Belgian troops. Main operations will be on all HF bands, and they'll be talking on 2 metres. Full details, www.burtonarc.org. Now, the DX News, compiled from the 425 DX News and other sources. Giovanni IZ2DPX will be active as VP2MPX from Montserrat, NA103, until the 25th of August on SSB and the HF bands and 6 metres. Tony 3D2AG will be back on Rotuma Island, OCO60, until the 8th of August. He'll be QRV in his spare time as 3D2AG portable on the 40 to 6 metre bands, using a solar-powered station with three-element Yagi and inverted V, QSL to 3D2AG direct, cqrz.com. Dirk PA7DN will be active as stroke P from Terschelling, EU038, until the 8th of August, QSL home call direct or via the Bureau. Qantas News now, the VHF part of the 43rd Alp Adria VHF UHF SHF contest takes place today, the 3rd of August. Entry categories include a low-power, high-altitude class for those above 1,600 metres ASL and below 5 watts. Operations are on CWSS BO700 to 1,500 UTC. Full details, www.alpe-adria-contest.net. Today, the 3rd of August, CW contest Rapoco 2 is on the aero 700 to 0830 UTC. CW only, 80 metre bands, the exchange is RST and full postcode received. The RSGB 432 megs low power contest is today, the 3rd, operating from 0800 UTC until the 1200 on all modes on the 77s band, the exchange is RST, serial number and locator. Finally, for this weekend, Microwave Field Day takes place today, the 3rd, from 0900 to 1700 UTC, using all modes on the 1.3 and 10 gigs band, RST, serial number and locator form the exchange. Tuesday sees the 144 megs UK activity contest running 1900 to 2130 UTC using all modes. The exchange is the usual signal report, serial number and locator. For the whole 48 hours of the weekend, 9th to the 10th of August, the first of this year's Worktal Europe DX contest, the CW leg, will be filling the HF bands with signals. Europeans work non-Europeans only, using the 3.5 to 28 megs bands, the exchange of signal report and serial number. The fifth 70 megs cumulative contest takes place on Sunday the 10th, 1400 to 1600 UTC, using all modes, the exchange of signal report, serial number and locator. Now for the solar factual data for the period from Friday the 25th to Thursday the 31st of July, compiled by Neil Clark, G0CAS. As predicted, two large sunspot regions rotated into view, one on the 27th, the other on the 30th. Solar activity started at low levels with a small number of C-class solar flares taking place each day. However, on the 31st, activity increased to moderate levels when an M2-class solar flare took place just before midday. Solar flux levels increased from 107 units on the 25th to 156 by the 31st. The average was 132 units. The 90-day solar flux average on the 31st was 130. That's one unit up on last week. X-ray flux levels increased from B2.8 units on the 25th to B7.1 by the 30th. The average was B5 units. Geomagnetic activity was quiet every day, though on the 28th, activity increased slightly with an AP index of 10 units. The average was AP 6 units. Solar wind data from the A spacecraft saw where solar winds vary between 310 and 470 kilometres per second. Particle densities were low except for a brief increase to 60 particles per cubic centimetre on the 28th. BZ varied between minus 8 and plus 10 nanoteslas on the 28th, which was the most disturbed day, and between minus 5 and plus 3 nanoteslas on the quietest day. Now for the solar forecast for the next week, this week's solar activity is expected to be at moderate levels on some days. This is due to the two old returning sunspot groups that produced M-class solar flares on their last rotation. Solar flux levels should be about the 160s at first, but could start to decline after midweek. Geomagnetic activity should start at quiet levels, but by midweek increase slightly due to a recurring coronal hole. MUFs during daylight hours at equal latitude should be about 23 megs. Darkness hours lows should be about 12 megs. Paths this week to the Middle East should have a maximum usable frequency with a 50% success rate of about 22 megs. The optimum working frequency with a 90% success rate will be more like 17 megs. And the best time to try this path, that's to the Middle East, will be between 100, I think that might mean to be 1000 and 1600 hours. And that's it from the propagation team for another week. And that's the end of this bulletin. Until today, I have been reading the local news for the UK Midlands, but I don't believe that this information is still required or being retransmitted over repeaters, so from this week I shall cease to do so. If, on the other hand, anybody does care to contact me and tell me that they still want the service, then I'll gladly provide it and put it back. Thank you.